This is take up your pulpit and walk bit time. Okay. I'm really enjoying being here in this area. And it's such a beautiful area. But and I came in April before there were any leaves on the trees or anything was growing. And I still believed it. My wife is down in Ohio right now. Well, actually, she's on her way back. And visiting, she and her brother, who lives in Wautoma, went down on his motorcycle and took the ferry across Lake Michigan. And then they got down to where their younger brother is, who is handicapped. And he's always there in the home that he's in. They get down there and they find out that they took them to Branson, Missouri. That's the first time it's ever happened. You know, sometimes you assume things, and it doesn't work out that way. So she's on her way back now. And by the way, did I mention that she was on the back of her brother's motorcycle? You know, we have certain freedoms that we enjoy. And but with freedoms comes some responsibility. One company sells those cardboard windshields, you know, with the aluminum foil on them that are to keep the hot sun off car dashboards, which you don't have to worry about today. But one of the legal eagles is really concerned that someone might forget to remove their product before heading out onto the highway. And so the shield carries the warning, do not drive with sun shield in place. Who could forget to remove that obstruction? But we have certain rights and privileges as Americans. Certain liberties that citizens of many other nations do not enjoy. Because we are Americans, we can assemble in this place today freely. Because we're Americans, we're free to believe in God. And in fact, Americans are able to believe in any God they choose or no God at all. But because we're Americans, we have the right to speak our mind on any issue we choose, at least so far. And it looks a little bit cloudy into the future. But as Americans, we have the right to carry a Bible and pray in Jesus' name and serve Him in the world. Thank God for the rights that we enjoy. Did you know that it's possible to be American and still not be free? Did you know that it's possible for a person to enjoy all of the rights guaranteed to the citizens of this nation and for that person to still not be free? Did you know that many Americans are free socially but enslaved spiritually? Father, as we look to your word this morning, I pray that you'll help us to understand more fully than ever before what real freedom is and what the freedoms are that we have as followers of Jesus Christ. Speak to us now through your word, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 8 and verses 31 through 37, Jesus spoke with a group of people who thought they were free. Read with me there, John chapter 8, beginning at verse 31 through verse 37. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. First of all, I want us to look at our hindrance to freedom. They believed that they were free because they were the sons of Abraham. And Jesus tells them in verse 34 that because they are sinners, they are the slaves to sin. I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Paul teaches the same truth in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Jesus also wants us to know he has the power to make men truly free. Verse 32, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. He reminds them that because they're slaves to sin, they are not truly free. He tells them in verse 35 that a slave is not a permanent part of the family, while a son is. Then in verse 36, Jesus tells us that since he is the son, he has the power to make men truly free. Verse 36, so if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. See, a person could be locked away in prison and still be free in Jesus. Well, one of the programs I really enjoy is not on TV, it's on the radio. And for Monday through Saturday at 9 o'clock on WRVM, which is your local radio station here, Christian radio station, there is Unshackled. And Unshackled are stories about people who have been enslaved to sin that God has freed. And many of them oftentimes are in prison. One last night was someone who was in prison. And in prison, he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior through a chaplain who was sharing the gospel. And he was willing to stay there in prison and be used by God to minister to the people that were there. Eventually, he was freed, and then he was able to become part of a ministry that reached out to people who were enslaved. A person locked away in prison can be free in Jesus. A person can live in an atheistic, godless society and still be free in Jesus. He has the power to truly make us free. Look at the freedom enjoyed by the follower of Jesus Christ. Verses 32 and 36 give us some facts about what it means to be free indeed. I want us to focus here on Jesus' words. We look secondly at our source of freedom. In verse 32, Jesus says is the source of spiritual freedom, and that is the truth. The truth. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth refers to that which is true about God and carrying out his purposes in Jesus Christ. In other words, the truth Jesus refers to here is the whole truth regarding who he is and what he did for us sinners. The truth about Jesus is revealed in creation. We read in Psalm 19, in verses 1 through 5, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. And then in Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since that which may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. The truth about Jesus Christ is revealed in history. From Romans 4:25, he was handed over because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. And 1 Corinthians 15 says he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living. This was the Apostle Paul speaking in Romans 15. He appeared to more than 500 at one time. No hallucination. Hallucinations don't happen to great masses of people like that. And he says most of these are living right now still at that time when he was writing. The truth about Christ is revealed in Scripture. Jesus said, "You search the Scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the Scriptures point to me," Jesus said. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, I'm sorry, the overhead is not working. I don't know what I did wrong when I put that together, but it you don't have the scriptures up there for you to see, and I desire for you to be able to read them as well. But if you have a Bible with you, turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. He opens our eyes, and he reveals God's truth to us. John 16:13 says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." The Spirit of truth. And then John 6:44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." There are some people that will say, I believe that all this stuff about Jesus and salvation is true, but I'm just not ready for that now. And, you know, when it gets to the time when I know that my days here on earth are coming to an end, well, then I'll do it. You know what? It's not your choice when that would happen. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Why is it that so many older people do not come to Christ? The percentages of elderly people who come to faith in Jesus Christ is very, very low. And if you hear God's voice speaking to you and drawing you, you know that it's God that's drawing you. And if you ignore that, it may not happen for a long time or ever again. Thirdly, the expanse of our freedom. Jesus said in verse 36, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." When he makes the person free, they are free indeed. The first word for free is translated from a word that means set at liberty. Set at liberty. It's a picture of one liberating a slave from bondage. But the second word for free that is in this passage is one who is freeborn. Jesus said that the freedom he gives us when he saves us is so complete that it is as if you were never slaves to begin with, but were freeborn sons of God. The liberty that Jesus gives is so complete that it blots out our past and makes us absolutely and eternally free in him. That's a far cry from where we were before we met him. Ephesians 2:1 tells us, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Thank God for the liberty that we enjoy in Jesus Christ. Consider the areas from which we have been liberated. First of all, we have been delivered from the wrath of God, according to Romans 5:9. And then we have been delivered from condemnation, according to Romans 8:1. We have been delivered from death and hell, according to John 5:24 and John 3:16. We have been delivered from the power of sin, according to Romans 6, verses 13 and 14. And then we have been delivered from Satan's power, 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. The deliverance that we enjoy in Jesus is complete and full. Complete and full. Through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life, according to Romans 8:2, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. And then Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we've looked at the hindrance to experience freedom is our sin. The source of our freedom is in Jesus Christ alone. The expanse of our freedom is complete, total, and eternal. And then the cost of our freedom. The cost of our freedom. The cost that we as Americans enjoy was not cheap. We enjoy our freedom as Americans because over 1 million brave soldiers and sailors and Marines and airmen paid for our freedoms with their blood. Over 1 million. Consider those who signed the Declaration of Independence. 5 of the signers were captured by the British as traitors, and they were tortured to death. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned to the ground. 9 of the 56 signers fought and died from wounds or the hardships of the Revolutionary War. 56. What kind of men were they? Were they just rabble-rousers who lived on the streets and were angry? No, 24 were lawyers and judges. 11 were merchants. 9 were well-educated, successful farmers. They signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well that the penalty would be death if they were captured. They signed and they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. For example, Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ships sunk by the British Navy. He sold his home and properties to pay his debts and died in poverty. At the Battle of Yorktown, the British General Cornwallis had taken over Thomas Nelson's home for his headquarters. Nelson quietly ordered General George Washington to open fire on Nelson's home. The home was destroyed, and Nelson went bankrupt. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and his mill were destroyed. For over a year, he lived in forests and caves, returning only to find his wife had died and his children were missing. And a few weeks later, he died from exhaustion. Such were the stories of the sacrifices of the American Revolution. These were not wild-eyed, rabble-rousing ruffians. They were soft-spoken men of means and education. They had wealth and security, but they valued liberty more. Standing tall, straight, and unwavering, they pledged for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of God. We mutually pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Our freedom as Americans was purchased at a very high price. But while the price of our national freedom was costly and bloody, it's nothing in comparison to the cost of our spiritual freedom. The cost of our spiritual freedom was the death of this very Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross at Calvary. It was there that he gave his life to purchase freedom from everyone. You know, at any time he could have called for the angels to come down and to wipe out all of the people who were wanting to put him to death, but he didn't do it. On the cross, Jesus, according to 1 John 2:2, served as a sacrifice for our sins. He solved the sin problem for good, not only ours, but the whole world's. It was there that, according to Isaiah 53:5, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we were healed. It was there that the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Why did he do it? The answer is quite simple. He did it because he loves us. He did it because he loves you. He did it because he loves me. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till we became good enough. He says, while we were still sinners. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3, informs us of the horrible condition of the lost. He says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among men at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. While we remember that, we must never forget that it was there that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. It was there that the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Why did he do it? Why did he bother to go to that extreme? Because God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We must never forget the awesome statement of God in Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 6. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. In Jesus Christ, slaves are made free men and women. In Jesus Christ, the bondage of sin is broken. In Jesus Christ, the fierceness of divine wrath is pacified, and the flames of hell are quenched. In Jesus Christ, there is life, there is liberty, and there is the quest for godliness. Has Jesus Christ made you free? Shouldn't you praise him and thank him for that? Would you like to be free? Maybe you're not sure you're free this morning. Come to Jesus. If you are sensing him drawing on your heart, come to him. He will not turn you away. Let me invite you to ask him this. Dear God, I realized that I can never be perfect enough to earn a place in your perfect heaven. I realize that the only way I can get in is by believing you have already paid the penalty for my sins. Forgive me. Come into my life to be my Lord. Thank you that you give me what I need, not what I deserve. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus, for paying for my salvation on the cross. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer for salvation here this morning, please let me know, or one of the elders, or either fill out a comment card or text me or email me. I want to make sure that you get some helps to begin with in this newfound relationship with Jesus Christ. And dear Father, I pray that any who have prayed that prayer here this morning will know that because they have asked you to forgive them of their sins and to come into their life, that you have done so. Lord, minister your grace to all of us. Desire to share that good news with the people we come in contact with. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.